Hi there, it's Amy Guth, host on WGN Radio.
And I'm Rex Hupke, a terrible columnist with the Chicago Tribune.
Discourse is at an all-time high in this country, and we're very civilized, and we're thoughtfully...
Shut up, Amy!
Like I said, we're thoughtfully having conversations.
Stop it!
Shut it! Shut up right now!
For God's sake!
I swear to God, I will go over
you.
Punch you! You! So, in a civilized way, let us take a look at what's happening in political headlines right now. Hello and welcome to another edition of Guth and Hupke on Politics. I'm Amy Guth. That there's Rex Hupke. Here we are, not wearing coats in Chicago for the first time in a long time.
Yeah,
it's pretty exciting. And I have a lot of sassy t-shirts. I'm wearing one today that says support your local girl gang. It's one of my favorites. And when I walk around in that shirt, it is a political act.
Yeah, I bet. I'm intimidated.
Yeah, you should be.
You walked in the door and I shrunk like, you know, 4 inches.
Shrink away, man. Shrink away.
I scurried under the rug.
Where you belong. I get a lot of, feminists. I get a lot of that.
Feminazi.
Yeah, yeah. Or the, like, well-meaning but really terribly misguided, conversation starter on the bus that's like, hey, cool shirt. I mean, I'm cool with feminism. I just, like, hate it when they, like, shove it down my throat. No one's shoving anything down your throat, privileged white man, I promise you.
Yeah, I don't know where that expression came from and why so many conservative Christians use it, but...
Yeah. Like, I'm fine with gay marriage as long as I don't shove it down my throat. That's especially not being shoved down your throat, I can assure you.
Or is it?
Or, yeah. So anyway, how are you, Rex Hupke? We didn't get around to a podcast last week because, you know, capitalism.
Stuff happens.
But since we last spoke, many things have occurred, including the White House Correspondents' Dinner, which we discussed briefly on the air late on Monday evening when I was filling in for Patty Vasquez.
That was nice. And that seems like 5 months ago now.
Exactly like we said it would. By the time Wednesday afternoon comes around when we record, it's going to seem like 100 years ago. And here we are. Indeed, it does. I was like, who? Oh, yeah. The White House. That was. Oh, yeah. Just
like,
days ago.
Like, actually, just consider briefly the significant. And I'm sure I'm missing something. But since Monday night, and this was late Monday night, this was 11 something when we spoke, the things that have occurred that are significant include, but are probably not limited to.
Not at all limited to.
The release of 50 some odd questions that Robert Mueller apparently wants to ask Donald Trump.
Uh-huh.
Donald Trump's 30 plus year personal doctor saying that his office was raided by Trump's bodyguard and a lawyer to retrieve his medical records.
That's maybe my favorite one
It's amazing. Yeah. And then that followed with that same doctor later in the day saying that the ridiculous statement about Trump's health that was released during the campaign, and I believe it was in 2015, late 2015, was dictated by Trump, was not actually written by the doctor. The doctor just signed it. Big freaking deal on both counts, because on one hand you have what sounds basically like a burglary of a medical office, and on the other one you have somebody completely lying about their damn health, which, by the way, they made a huge deal of Hillary's health during the campaign. Whatever, we can get back to that. Then, the questions were... Oh, and then today they... Trump's lead lawyer steps down, and
also that
Ty Cobb, and then is replaced by the lawyer who represented Bill. Well, he's done a lot of things. Emmett Flood. He represented Clinton during the impeachment proceedings, and he's done stuff with Bush. He's done stuff with a lot of people. But the one thing I will note that Emmett Flood has done is represented a lot of people who did the things they were accused of doing.
Oh yeah.
But anyway. So that's just since...
That's just like off the top of our heads.
Yeah, it's Wednesday at 2 p.m. So between Monday at 11 p.m. and Wednesday at 2 p.m.
The following thing. Yeah, all those things have occurred.
Four stories that
are
should just...
Huge.
Right. Under normal circumstances would consume... It would just be explosive. And these... Like, honestly, the doctor thing almost looks like it's just going to be ignored. I'm like...
I know, that's like that's my favorite one. But that's like one of the least OMG of all of them. But I think that one's really fascinating.
And Sarah Huckabee Sanders had the gall to get up in front of the press corps and say that they were just following standard operating procedure by retrieving the documents.
No.
You know what?
You send a request.
Yeah.
Please send me, hello, dear sirs. Please send me the following documents. And I say sirs because we all know there's no ladies there.
Yes, of course.
Please send me the following documents at your convenience.
Yeah.
Thanks so much. Yours truly. DJT, whatever.
Right. As opposed to, here's two very large, intimidating people and a lawyer. We'll be taking these medical records.
We'll be taking these here.
And the picture of you and Donald Trump that you have hanging in your lobby. It's like, what the, this is like mob shit. I mean, it's insane.
Insanity.
It is absolute insanity. And I'll be interested, actually, if the New York Attorney General gets involved in this somehow. Because legitimately, it sounds like they didn't have the proper HIPAA release forms, the privacy release forms and stuff. Mm-hmm. There has to be some kind of law violated there.
Yeah, now, totally.
Granted, the doctor seems like a complete loon, but still, he's still making the accusation, so it has to be investigated, doesn't it? I mean, I don't know. I don't know what has to be investigated.
Yeah, and the whole thing about him dictating the letter of like, no, Trump dictated this letter about health, and I that's so wacky. But I will say this, that it is interesting. So rarely do we hear about a man's appearance when it's totally unrelated to the story. Whereas for women, you can be like interviewing a CEO about quarterly earnings. It'll be like, she sat down in her pink Chanel suit to catch up with us with her perfectly coiffed hair to tell us that fucking numbers, not anything else, right? Like her appearance will always, her, you know, youthful appearance belies her 58 years. Like some bullshit like that always happens when you're talking about ladies. But so rarely do you see comment about a man's appearance. And that has occurred with this doctor, which is interesting. Like, I think CNN said, the letter thrust the eccentric Borenstein with his shoulder-length hair and round eyeglasses into public view. Like that, you just never hear crap like that said about a dude.
Somebody on Twitter tweeted a photo of him and said, which hobbit is this?
Truly. I mean, he's got a little bit of Dumbledore in him.
Yeah,
you know, he's got a little wizard-like quality to him.
Something going on there. Yeah, exactly.
So that leads me to this. Wouldn't it be interesting if we started describing men in stories the way women so often are described?
Oh, yeah.
Like, Hupke, of average height with short brown hair, like, which has nothing to do with anything, right?
Who flexed his sterling calves.
I knew you were going to say some crap about your damn calves. I knew it. Yes. I would also like to discuss the Starbucks story.
Yeah, I was going to bring that up too. That's great. Yeah. Well, I mean, well, it didn't start out great. I mean, it's great.
Really, no part of it's great.
Well, no, but the result, what happened? Okay, go ahead. Say what you're going to say. Maybe I was thinking of something different, but no. Well, I don't mean it's great that they called the police.
That's so great.
Rex just went totally racist. Wow.
Yeah, and that occurred. So we're just, I'm going to scoot.
Sorry,
the
you go
chair.
Ahead, and then I well, will so, explain my.
So this
nonsense.
This settlement being reached, right, is creating quite a stir.
Yes.
Because some people are like, attaboy, you're accepting $1 settlement, and the rest is going to, you know, $200,000 going to youth programs. That's so great. But also, like, pay them.
Well, but it sounds like that was an agreement. I mean, it sounds like they were involved in that decision.
Totally, but also pay them.
I get what you're saying. I mean, technically, yeah. I think they deserve whatever they can get or want to get. But it sounds to me like I read it as they took the major high road here and said, give us a dollar, we'll get, and then give $250,000 to these programs.
It is an awesome thing to do.
Right.
I hope no pressure was involved to do so.
I can't imagine. I mean, honestly, given the circumstances of that, I have to believe they were driving the bus there. You know, I mean, because they had all the power at that point. Obviously, they didn't have it at the beginning.
Do
but,
they?
Yeah, because, I mean, look, the city, the Starbucks, everybody was in...
Totally in the wrong.
Yeah, and in hot water, too. So, again, I don't know.
I just worry there was coercion involved or you know, even like guilt tripping or, well, you weren't injured. You weren't, you know, I worry that it was not... It's a beautiful gesture. It's awesome.
Yeah. I'm taking it on face value because it just
I used to do that, and then the last 2 years occurred... And I, you know what? That's funny. Side tangent, and then I'm going to come back to this. I have realized in the last couple of weeks that I'm extremely stupid in the following way. I take people for exactly what they say. If they say, like, I'm busy, I'll get back to you later, I legitimately believe there is no other reason I have not, like, gotten a return email or gotten paid or whatever. Like, that makes me a stupid and naive person because most people are lying to me. Most people are lying all the time. Most people are at very least exaggerating. And I've been thinking about it because, like, several examples have been very boldly in my face recently. And I was like, oh, well, so that's bull. And that's like it. I keep thinking, like, I'm so naive that I believe people exactly what they say to me. Like, good for you. Totally a lie. I will totally pay you for the freelance. Like, you know, like there's, I say that because someone owes me money from a long time ago. But like stuff like that, like, no, people are actually lying. Or I'd rather someone just say, I'm real scattered right now and I cannot even focus enough to sit down and write you back, pay you, do the thing, whatever, then say, like, I'll totally write you back tomorrow. Like, no, you won't. That's my side tangent. So okay. I recognize I am naive in that I take people for exactly their word.
Okay.
So let's return to this, in which you are taking everything about Starbucks exactly its word. I'm saying I believe that would be an intimidating situation, and I believe that it would be, I don't know. I worry that there was like some kind of, I think, like, let's just make this end.
I think Starbucks was scared crapless, and I think that those guys could have gotten just about anything they wanted.
And I think they should have.
Well, but I think that's what makes me think that this is what they wanted. Who knows? There could have been something going on behind the scenes, but I'm choosing to believe that here are two guys who were totally wronged, who, like you said, deserve anything, everything that they can get.
Absolutely.
And are actually choosing to, unlike, like, you know, pretty much all of our politicians and all the, you know, high profile people in the world, they're choosing to do a really good thing and make a statement. So I'm going with that because I tend to believe it. And you know, honestly, those guys, nobody would look, if Starbucks did that, if Starbucks tried to leverage them at all, put any pressure on them, and they came out and screamed and yelled about it, nobody would fault them for that. You know what I mean? That's why I feel like they, at that point,
would fault who?
The guys.
Yeah.
You know, because everybody is on, I mean, I think most non-racist people at least are on their side.
I was going to say, racists would.
Sure,
racists,
but they're going to do it,
like,
anyway.
Oh,
so they're going to fault
people
them.
People are whining, and this is why.
They're going to fault them. You know, they'll gripe about this too, probably. No racist is going to give them credit. But,
sure.
But the bottom line is, I think, you know, it looks to me like a really positive statement. And again, it shows, like, some regular people, you know, not high profile people, who are actually doing something instead of being, you know, just taking something, even if it's deserved. But this was just a good thing. To me, it made me think, like, wow, I already felt horrible for what happened to these guys.
Yeah.
And just sort of horrible about the situation in general because of the broader message it sends. But also, you know, I saw that and I'm like, you know what? Okay, you talk about, you know, taking a bad situation and turning it into something really positive. And
what was
really
the number? 200,000?
250,000? 200 or 250, something like
oh,
that.
Oh, yeah. Starbucks, you got more than that.
Bro. Oh, yeah, I know. But come on, I mean, like, you have to, I understand what you're saying. Yeah. But at the same time, that's kinda,
I just worry there's, like, systemic crap going on and some coercion and some,
I don't know, I
mean, leveraging dessert. Like, I just worry. I don't know. None of us know, except for the people who are in the room. And I still don't. You can't make me go to Starbucks.
You don't have to go. I don't care if you go to Starbucks.
It's kind of jet fuel anyway. I'm kind of like caffeine light. I just need a little in the morning to get going, and I make it myself in my little humble coffee pot. I don't need jet fuel. It's good. I'm jet fuel enough.
Now you're talking.
In mind and soul. There you go.
Yeah.
Well, great that money has gone to a good cause.
Yeah, yeah. That's, I mean, and hopefully it's good. You know, you got to have some hope, at least. You know, we can't assume everything's bad.
Sure we can. If we didn't, we wouldn't be here, Hauke. That's what we're here for, to point out all the things that are terrible.
But there's, yeah, true.
So there's that.
There's so many things terrible that there have to be some good things.
Okay, fair enough.
That's
fair
what
enough.
I'm saying.
The weird story of the day that has nothing to do with politics that I think is so fascinating, like a Utah family was landscaping some crap in their yard and moved some, you know, rocks and sand and crap and found like a 16,000-year-old horse skeleton.
Really?
That story is so cool.
I did not hear about that.
Well,
what are they doing with it?
Well, you know, calling scientists to come get it. It's a 16,000-year-old horse.
I thought they might put it, like, put it back together and put it in their yard.
Glue it together, paint it, put Christmas lights on it, and a Santa hat.
It's kind of like a giant reindeer. I don't know why I just did. That's not a Utah
what?
Accent.
I was going to say, what Utah people have you met? Suddenly, Utah's not the one by Georgia.
Yeah, sorry about that.
So there's that. What other fine political stories are on your mind today, Rex Hupke?
Well, you know, the Kanye West stuff is
he's having a great week.
I mean, good Lord. But I don't know if you heard this just happened, but he's going on InfoWars now. So, you know, it's just like, yeah, and all right.
That makes me laugh so hard. Why are you doing that?
And I just, honestly, this is not a joke. On the train in, I was looking at, what was it? Oh, it was some dumbass conservative Christian broadcaster who said that the First Amendment only applies to Christians. And just don't even worry about that story because it's nonsense. But I was like, I tweeted, we are living in the golden age of stupidity. And then I was like,
I liked that tweet.
I said, send. And then moments later, I saw the news that Kanye's going on InfoWars. I was like, whoa, what have I done?
Like I said.
I've caused a convergence of stupidity. So, but the Kanye West stuff is interesting. And honestly, it's interesting on a lot of different fronts. Number one being the way conservatives are suddenly embracing Kanye West and acting. And so I tweeted the other day, I'll say this up front, I like Kanye's music. I've liked it for a long time.
I did not know that about you.
Yeah, his first two albums, I think, are some of the probably the best, two of the best rap albums around, I think, generally speaking.
We're gonna have a discussion about rap music at some point.
Since then, I think he's kind of gone. He's slid a bit into getting a little too weird and whatever.
But he's a weird guy.
Yeah, he's very weird, and that's fine. He's an artist, whatever. I don't really care, but. But the thing is, so conservatives have embraced him all of a sudden, and I pointed out, I don't know if I can find the tweet, but anyway, I screenshotted some of his lyrics, which, again, I don't want to get into a big rap discussion. I mean, there are issues in rap of misogyny.
Oh, too late. We're going to get into a rap discussion.
Misogyny, et cetera, yeah. that I'm not okay
with.
And,
like, pimp culture, and yeah.
Right, but setting that aside, though, my point was,
yes.
I tweeted some of the lyrics, which... And said, I wonder how Hannity, Tucker Carlson, et cetera, feel about this, given that they'd practically crap their pants when President Obama invited Common to the...
Yeah, that's right.
...to the White House.
That's right.
You know, I mean, they literally crapped their pants. They were like, oh,
they
my God,
in
the people's house. Oh, my... You know, and they
oh,
just
it got much
it.
More racist than
oh,
that.
Oh, yeah, it was horrible. And I'm like, so, okay, Kanye says that he likes Trump... And now you're calling this like a cultural shift and like a big fucking deal and blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, do you know anything about Kanye or about his
right.
lyrics? And personally, I'm fine with the lyrics. I don't, generally speaking, I mean, you
which
know,
particular lyrics did you tweet?
I'll find it. Hold on a second.
Oh,
I got to dig through. It's like 800 tweets back because I tweet every 5 seconds. But yeah, no, I said.
I mean, Twitter is like, it's our life partners these days.
Yes.
Twitter is exactly. definitely my life partner.
Yeah. I've devoted myself to them. Let's see. It says, meanwhile, the DEA teamed up with the CCA. They're trying to lock N-word up. They're trying to make new slaves. See, that's that privately owned prison. Get your peace today. They're probably all in the Hamptons bragging about what they made. Fuck you in your Hampton house. I'll fuck your Hampton spouse. Came on her
Hey-o.
Hampton blouse and in her Hampton mouth.
Yep.
So
that's
Fox
not compatible
News,
with Fox
yeah,
News
I know. Well,
ideology.
That's, right. And that's the point. And I'm like, so... Who the fuck are you kidding? Like, I mean...
I love it when I get mad, Hupke, and the F-bomb start.
Well, yeah, really. And also, let me just point out that I don't think I've ever felt more white than when I was just reading Kanye's
say.
Lyrics.
Hey, fly girl.
So here it's wiggity, wiggity, and...
Oh, my God. I'm glad you said that. That was so exciting.
My rap career is not going as quickly along.
We're
going
to start adding this as a regular segment in which Hupke reads
Rex
some rap
reads
lyrics.
Some rap lyrics. You'd think by now, I mean, I've listened to rap since
Rex
I was a
reads
kid.
Rap. That's what we're doing.
You would think that by now I'd actually have some sense of, like, you know, rhythm or rhyme or something like that. But
sure.
No, it's don't sound like that.
Uh-huh.
Anyway. Point.
Next week, it's the Wu-Tang. That's
there you
what
go.
We're
yeah,
doing.
That's my, yeah, there you go. So that is just weird. I mean, if you touched any of Kanye lyrics, people like conservative, like evangelical Christians would be like, oh, they'd pass out. I mean,
so what do you think the story? Like, do you think it's the attachment to Kanye is here's a celebrity with a lot of influence who is, are they thinking like, oh, he can help influence people and bring them to Trump? Or is it like tokenism or is it, what is it?
I think it's a combination of, despite their nonstop whining about the liberal elite entertainment industry and Hollywood elites, etc., that there's a famous person who's actually mm-hmm. saying that he likes Trump, and two, he's black. And so that is just like added
to
it.
So all the above.
Yeah, so yeah. It kind of adds in. And it's so, I mean, honestly, it's so damn pathetic because I guarantee you that if, for example, Obama had invited Kanye West to the White House, they would have cited lyrics like what I just read mm-hmm. to say what an abomination it was that they would bring such a monster into the people's house. And that absolutely would have happened. There's just no question about it.
Oh, yeah.
And it's beyond hypocritical. And that's why this is like, come on. I mean, you're just, again, if you're going to embrace Kanye, fine. Embrace
Take
the
him.
Whole thing, though.
He's a weird guy, too.
Right.
Him.
Yeah, because you're not going to tell me that you're cool with everything he, as an artist, says, mm-hmm. you know? Mm-hmm. Or, don't even get me started on the Kardashian. I mean, you know.
Right. That whole affiliation is a whole other story and chapter like, in this book here. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's weird. And it's just kind
of
pathetic.
Do you think they actually love each other? This is just like garbage TV, reality TV tangent. But sometimes I think like, thank God those two weirdos found each other mm-hmm. that are both completely out of touch with reality. And sometimes I think this is entirely a business arrangement. Sometimes I think actually they really love each other. I can't decide.
Yeah,
I think
I
they
know.
Might
It's
actually
lasted
love
longer
each other.
Than I guess I thought it would have. But honestly, what's amazing, when Kim Kardashian is the one that's keeping the other person grounded, you know,
right.
there's something fundamentally amiss there.
Right.
But I don't know. Maybe they do. Who yeah. knows? I mean, good for them if they do. I got, you know, I mean, I think, you know, whatever.
What were you going to say?
I got no ill feelings towards either of them. I mean, I think
no, I don't begrudge anybody happiness.
And, you know, they're wacky and, you know, whatever. But the thing with Kanye, too, that I can't tell is if he's brilliantly marketing himself or if he's actually has some serious mental issues. And I mean, obviously, he's a narcissist, I think. That's
oh, sure.
pretty clear.
Oh, that's the Trump connection.
Yeah, that's why he and Trump, I think.
Game recognizes game. Mm-hmm. That's what we're dealing with. Yeah. Let's go back to this First Amendment Christianity thing, because
I can't talk a lot about that because I just kind of saw the headline and barfed and then read and kept going.
That's all right. I've got this here MSNBC story pulled up, and I will. There are some quotes I would like to share.
Okay.
Because they are, where I'm from, what we like to call batshit crazy.
Okay, I'm going to barf more now.
Okay, so Alabama Chief Justice offered an unusual interpretation of the U.S. Constitution in a newly released video telling a religious organization that the First Amendment only protects Christianity. Here we go. Ready? They didn't bring the Quran over on the pilgrim ship, the Mayflower, Chief Justice Roy Moore announced at the Pastor for Life luncheon, which I'm not sure why we weren't invited to that, Hupke, an event hosted in January by Pro-Life Mississippi. Oh, that's why we were not invited. Yeah. In a video obtained and released by Raw Story last Friday, Moore told his audience that religion in the First Amendment only applied to the God in the Bible. Let's get real. Let's learn our history. Let's stop playing games, said Moore at the Jackson, Mississippi event. Ah, that's so nice. That's nice. Buddha didn't create us. Muhammad didn't create us. It's the God of the Holy Scriptures, said Moore.
Good Lord.
Okay. That's nice. That's nice. So, I mean, I feel as the Jewish half of this here podcast, I feel conflicted on that because don't speak for me, bro.
Yeah, right.
But also, you know, I mean, I got you on the Old Testament. I got you covered on that. So,
yeah, that's just crazy. You know, I don't know what's going on. I just
white supremacy is happening.
Well, yeah,
crazy rampant white Christian supremacy is happening. Well, I would say this: Christianity. I know plenty of totally rad Christians that are community organizers doing all kind of rad stuff.
Rad Christians is actually the name of my Bible group.
Great.
We're all just a bunch of Christian dads hanging out.
Rocking your minivans or whatever you're doing in your cargo slacks.
Shorts. Rad Christian dads.
Yeah, that's a thing you're doing. Oh, my God.
Woo.
I'm sorry that I gave you that idea. Anyway, I know like plenty of awesome Christians, and so I'm not anti-Christianity here. I cannot stand it when it's like when complete exclusive self-righteousness and hatred and bullshit like that gets cloaked in Christianity.
Because that, first of all, that is totally anti-Christian. to do that.
Yeah, I don't know JC personally, but I feel like everything I've heard about the guy, he would not be down with that kind of attitude.
Real inclusive fella.
Yeah. Real inclusive fella there.
Love the
pores. He really likes the pores. Yeah. He does.
But yeah, it's crazy.
It's more than crazy. It's scary to me. That kind of stuff is very scary to me because there are microaggressions. I've talked about one probably like a year. How long have we been doing this? 10 years?
At least.
25? I don't know.
This is our 15,000th podcast.
Right. It's our 50th year here at Guth and Hofgang Politics. But earlier in this, do you remember, I was like, I feel... Maybe it was right after Charlottesville. I honestly cannot remember shit anymore. But at some point, I was like, I'm going to start wearing... There's a Star of David necklace I have. Yeah. Uh-huh. I'm going to start wearing it. So I had it because I was like, I would like to see haters more clearly. I don't want, like, lurking haters. I need to know who is the hater. Right. And that woman at Walgreens was, you know, she had, like, this big blingy cross. And she was trying to say, like, oh, we're doing our religion on our necks here. But then ended up kind of saying... I just hate it when you people like push it on me. And I'm like, I'm not. She said, well, but she was saying, what she kept saying was like, well, yeah, but I'm just like a regular person. You're basically like, if you're not a Christian, you're not a regular person. You're a fringe group and therefore oppressing me. And I was like, go buy your Depends and get the fuck out of here. Which is what she legit was buying. Hey, whatever.
Hey,
one day maybe I'll be there. Who knows? But I'm saying like, it feeds into supremacy and heteronormative, cisgendered, white supremacy, affluent stuff of like that Christianity is regular. And I get that. No time do I ever feel that more than around the December holiday time when it's like, oh, yeah, but I just have like a tree up and it's not religious. It's just Christmas. It's fine. It's like, then call it something else. Like if it's not, you know what I mean? Like. Mm-hmm. Come on, Jew neighbor. Come just be chill at my Christmas party. Well, like, I'm not cool. It's not like that for me. It's complicated for me.
Yeah.
That is the symbol of my oppression, that beautiful tree. Like, they're beautiful, but it's complicated.
Right.
So I'm saying, like, you're asking a lot of fringe groups because we're, you know, I recognize that so much of the majority of this country is Christian. I get that. And that's fine. Be Christian. Be Christian all you want. That's fine. But like that kind of hater bullshit from Roy Moore, et cetera, is gross.
Oh, it's horrendous. And you know, I should probably not talk about this because it's not very well thought out, but I will anyway. Who cares?
Let's do it.
As I was walking, I was coming up from Loyola up to here before the show, and I was thinking about this stuff.
It's a fine institution.
Indeed. And I was thinking about this stuff, and I think that, because I was thinking about that whole golden age of stupidity idea.
Yeah.
And wondering if I should try to write a column or something
out
of that.
The answer is yes.
Okay, perhaps several. But then I was like, you know what?
In fact, that's an anthology.
Yeah, right, exactly. A series of 20 columns.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm trying to think about, like, okay, why is this happening? What is happening? And I think what's happening, and this is the part that I don't know, I can't prove or anything because I haven't done any research or really even thought that hard on it, but it's like... Okay, so white men are still still in charge or have the best opportunities to get in charge or get into positions of power. But the white men, what you're seeing is really, really bad, unintelligent white men getting to these positions now, because the rest of the white guys like myself who are kind of like, okay, I don't need to be dominant, I don't need to, you know, this is, we should be inclusive, blah blah blah, are doing our own thing. So I mean, I guess what I'm trying to say is, like, right now it seems like so many stupid people have risen up and are in positions of, you know, Fox News pundit, president of the United States, you know, guy on the Supreme Court in Alabama, you know, like all this sort of stuff. Like, you're just seeing all of these people, but they're all really, really bad examples of the sort of universe of white men out there. Like, they're bad in other words, instead of the cream rising to the top, the cream has floated down and the shit's risen to the top. And I don't know.
That's a beautiful image.
Yeah, but I don't know why. Like, I mean, that's what I'm talking about. I can't explain that, but it seems to me like right now. And I think it's because the white guys who are most desperately clinging to their dominance and their position in our society are the worst of the white men, kind of. It's the, the, you know, they are the least curious and least educated and that sort of thing. So you know, you see what I'm saying? I mean, it just kind of, even Trump, like during the campaign when he said, "I love the poorly educated," that was such an tell. I mean, that was such an...
Well, I think part of it is there's a lot of change happening and a lot of organizing happening, and I think that's threatening. If you're in a position of power, even subconsciously, on some level, it could feel threatening to you. You're going to act out on that. You're going to say dumb shit. It is exactly the same lizard brain shit that makes, if you're drowning and you and someone jumps in to save you, that you're going to pull them down with you. It is exactly the same dumb lizard brain crap that, because it feels survival-y, it feels connected to your very essence and identity, I'm sure, to even if you, even I think if you don't personally believe, like, oh, I've never oppressed anybody or benefited from my privilege, I think we have to say, we have in ways we will never even know, and I'm willing to believe that, and I'm willing to listen. And if someone tells me that I'm, like, I need to just say, yeah, okay. And, you know, instead of pushing back, going, no, you know, like, the, you know what I'm saying? Like, I think it's threatening even on a subconscious level, and it's making people act out in ways that are shitty.
Yeah.
There was a study, I was tweeting about this earlier this week, was it University of Michigan? Yes, University of Michigan's Ross School of Business did a study about how white male coworkers tend to respond to women and people of color in the workplace that are that achieve power. And the short answer is not very well. Truly. So the study looked at more than 1,000 top executives in large and mid-sized companies in the U.S., all public companies, and found that white male managers on average experienced, quote, a lower sense of identity with their company after the appointment of a female or and or person of color in a role of like a CEO or, you know, some leadership position. It is that. It is like, which to me is fascinating because that only reinforces the importance of representation to me, that if you don't see someone like you, you know, that looks like you on a corporate board, it's hard to imagine yourself being there. And if there's only like one person that looks like you on a corporate board, of course it's going to encourage really shitty competition. Like there's, I don't subscribe to the like queen bee, women are catty and shitty to each other thing. I think that can be brought out in situations in which if there's only one woman in leadership and there's 16 women wanting like to succeed in that role, to succeed in that company, you're even subconsciously on some level you're saying there's only, I only have one shot, not the other 20 board seats that are occupied by white men, because you're, those don't even occur to you as being available.
Right.
And I think there's more of that. Like, I think there's a lot of subconscious shit that people are acting out on right now. And but I also think, you know, balance occurs. So as people are getting more organized and pushing towards greater change on one side, the other side is going to be reactive and feel, you know, whiny about it.
Yeah. I, you know, I think it's like the best white men. I know this sounds weird, but the like the, you know, good white men have kind of moved on. And so the
to
that's
what
moved on to just doing stuff. I mean, you know, doing in other words, I can't name a single, if like you try to look at, you know, a white guy in power who is kind of trying to maintain the sort of you know, white male power structure, I can't think of a single person there who isn't in some way kind of an idiot or just, you know what I mean? Like,
right, because so, that's the thing. He doesn't have to do anything to maintain that power structure.
Exactly.
He just has to exist and float in it.
Yeah, that's why. I mean, so that's what I'm saying is, like, if you look at, there are plenty, look, if we, okay, there are plenty of intelligent, good white people, Democrat, I mean, doesn't, I'm not talking about ideology here. They could be conservative, they could be they could be liberal, whatever, who could be in Congress, for example. But there aren't. There are an insane number of jackals and just utter morons, in, especially in the House. I mean, it's just, like the Republicans in the House are, it's just a garbage heap of unqualified bozos. Seriously.
That's fair. Yeah.
It really is. And I'm not saying all Democrats are great, but I mean, the Republicans are especially just a mess. And I'm like, so in other words, so that like the talent pool that can be drawn on here, you're drawing on a shit talent pool. You're not drawing on like, and I think that's because, like I said, I think that's what it is the good, you know, like sort of smart white people who are cool with our changing world and inclusion and diversity, you know, those sorts of things have kind of are out there doing stuff, right? But they are not in positions where they're trying to maintain that power structure.
Well, I think too, we have to.
Does that make sense?
That makes sense. I think too, we have to remember that to get into an elected office, you have to have access to a lot of money. Mm-hmm. You got to have money, and often that, you know, you it's very difficult to come out of nowhere without connection to any wealthy families and foundations and shit like that, to come out of nowhere and suddenly get enough capital to run for an office. That's extremely difficult. People have done it, but it's extremely difficult.
Yeah.
And that person has to be such a top-notch community organizer and surround themselves with top-notch community organizers. And the people that have done it have done exactly that. So I think what we still see, the problem is why we have, what did you say? Like something bozos? Kind of bozos, it is because we're still dealing with a great deal of elitism. There's people that like come from a lot of money and therefore privilege, and I think it's hard to, or probably anyway, I don't know, hard to look beyond. You know, you don't know what you don't know. You can't necessarily see your own blind spots.
Yeah.
And so if you grow up in a great deal of privilege, it's like hard to do that. Now, there's a lot of conversation about, oh, so many women have started running for office in the last year. Da, da, da. That's fine, but now we need to make sure they win, right? There's so much. People are like, run for office, do this, learn to code, nah. There's a lot of problems with like these narratives we throw at women, and that is, you need to, it's not enough just to run for office. You need to win, and you need to win solidly, and you need to be the stellar ass candidate. And of course, you're going to be raked over the coals more than a male candidate. So you got to be even better. You got to have no skeletons in your closet. You got to have like polish and look, because your looks are going to come into it more than a man's will, obviously.
Right.
So there's just like so many odds stacked against people that I think there's so many great people that try and just get the shit kicked out of them, or don't have the access to the money and the connections to rich people to get themselves elected. So who we end up with are just people with shitloads of money. I mean, we're seeing this play out right now in Illinois in the gubernatorial race, right? Yeah. We've got two billionaires squaring off. Like, it's there you go. Like, that's exactly my point. So I don't know. I think that part is really frustrating, because it's very hard for just a person who has a brilliant brain and a lot of great ideas, it's hard for them to just kind of come out of oblivion and, you know, and become this great elected official, because they have to have, not only do you have to have money, you have to be connected to people with money, and which means liked by people with money.
Right. Yeah.
And if people with money are putting their own bias into it, you're going to like naturally gravitate to people who have something in common with you or look like you or whatever. So like it's so stacked against people that it's quite sickening, actually.
Yeah.
I'll be in my yurt in the desert, ignoring everyone if you need me. Just kidding. I can't afford a yurt.
Yurts are going for a lot these days. Well, you know, the thing that also strikes me sometimes is from like a, you know, like white supremacists kind of hailing this moment with Trump in power.
Barf.
And all this sort of stuff. And I'm like, really? That's the best you could do? Like, this is your moment, right? And the best, your avatar is arguably...
That's your leader?
Yeah, is easily one of the dumbest people I've ever seen in the public spotlight. I mean, it's just, like, shockingly dumb. I mean, everything about it is just pathetic. And not for nothing... I mean, look at what's happening. I mean, just the turnover alone in the White House is just jaw-dropping. I mean, you know, the idea that this guy would come in and hire all the best people, as he said, is so ridiculous. I mean, it's just everything about this is just so cataclysmically messed up and incompetent and just bad. And for there to be white people out there applauding this as some massive success and just loving the moment, I mean, that is just an indictment on a large swath of white people. Frankly.
Oh, yeah.
So,
I mean,
Get your shit together, white people. Come on. What the hell?
I mean, if that's like a we could sit here and diagram that whole sentence and like deconstruct everything there because yeah, well, that's a whole other show. I mean, to what end?
Right. Yeah.
How about get your shit together, all people, and well, yeah, work together? Like, get your shit together, white people, is like,
yeah,
restore your supremacy. We're not doing that.
Right. I was joking, saying, obviously.
But I see where you're going.
Right.
I know where you're
going. That part of it was a joke.
Okay. We're the clock is ticking down on us, but
We haven't even talked about the doctor. Jeez.
I know. We haven't got to Dr. Weirdo, but I don't want to miss the Trump's call-in to Fox and Friends on Thursday morning. Yeah. The top people in the FBI, headed by Comey, were crooked, yelling, screaming into the phone.
It was nuts, man. Again, you were just like, what the hell is going on? Like, I can't even... Sometimes you just can't bear it. You're just like...
I mean, the whole thing. Did you hear the whole clip? Like,
yeah, no, it was insane. I mean, it was a rambling of
it was a rambling
madman
of a totally.
Yeah.
It was bizarre. It was, if my relative said some shit like that, I'd be like, we should probably start looking at the old folks' home.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and the Fox News, I mean, the way you know it was off the rails was just watching the Fox News, the Fox and Friends people sitting there, and they were just kind of like, oh God, you could just tell. I mean, their faces gave it away.
Even they talking about, like, he couldn't even handle discussing Melania's birthday.
Right. Right. Yeah, what a dick. I got her a card.
I got a card.
I'm busy
you
being
president. You got me a card?
Yeah, right.
What?
How about a divorce? That's what I really want. But
I feel like even if you're casually dating, you get someone more than a damn card for their birthday.
Exactly.
I mean, he should... Okay, first of all, that man needs to recognize he married way up, way, way up, and should worship the ground that woman walks on.
Yeah, he doesn't see it that way, though.
No, he does not.
Not even close.
I miss the time. I miss the days. Remember we had like two in a row where he tried to grab her hand and she was like, nope.
Yeah. Yeah.
We need more of those.
That happened recently when Marcon was here, the French.
Right. Oh,
yeah,
good. That's right.
There was hand whacking.
Hand piece of shit. Now, I would like to again say, I do not feel sorry for Melania. I think she's in a fucked up situation because even if she wanted to leave, I'm sure he would make her life hell. And there's a child involved, and mm-hmm. so there's. I get it, but I do think she is complicit in her own super. What is the word I want? Crazy.
Yeah.
I'm doing a circle gesture. What is this whole crazy thing?
You get in bed with somebody like this in this case. Yeah, literally.
Gross.
And you're going to, you know, good luck getting the stink of this guy off you. I mean, anybody.
Oh, you said so many gross things just now. So many gross things just happened right now.
And that's true with all these people, though. And you know what? I don't give a damn. There was a story today about a White House aide who's like drowning in legal bills now because of the Russia investigation.
Right.
And I was like, you know what? Don't work in a White House with a, you know, guy like this. I mean, come on. Like, I have no sympathy for that. I'm like, you know, you people are getting exactly what you deserve.
Yeah.
And you will continue to get it, too.
And we've already, like, you know, had to move on from... I think the most fascinating sentence said, one of the most fascinating sentences that Trump said, and that was, he represents me, like with this crazy Stormy Daniels deal, he represented me. Like that alone is such a phenomenally good sentence.
Yeah. We don't have time, but that's where he's most worried, I think, is the Michael Cohen stuff.
Oh, yeah.
I think he feels like he can maneuver his way out of the Russia stuff, and he may well, but...
This man thinks he can maneuver his way out of anything.
Yeah, but I think he's scared about the... Because Cohen knows everything, and from all his past dealings and stuff.
Between Cohen and the doctor?
Oh, and the doctor, too. Well, the doctor, who knows what kind of records he had about, you know, could be paternity stuff, there could be all kinds of things.
There could be STI treatment, there could be paternity, there could be anything.
Yeah.
Anything.
Micropenis diagnosis.
You know, funny you say that. Do you remember a couple of years ago that Wizard Coachella video? There was a guy just tripping balls, like in the seven dimensions away from us. He was tripping out, and he was naked as the day he was born, and he had a micro penis, and he had like a wizard hat or something, but that's all he was wearing.
Really?
Oh, and he was just dancing and just like having a fun time at Coachella, and somebody took a video of him, and it floats around the internet every so often, and I saw it the other day, and I was like, oh yeah, the micro penis wizard.
Oh, that's
right.
Weird. I'll have to check that out.
And once in a while, some dudes get all kind of like, oh, don't body shame that man. And he's like, fair enough. But also, you took clearly a great deal of mushrooms at Coachella.
Right.
And whipped off your clothes except for your wizard hat. It's not quite the same thing as like an upskirt video.
Yeah.
So,
plus you think
step off.
Not much of a wizard if he can't, you know, boost the old micro penis.
Well, your magic sucks.
Yeah, right. I don't know what the Harry Potter spell is for, you know. Penis gigantus. Boosh, you know?
Oh, my God. HR's on its way in here. We got to go, Hupke. We got to go. All right. That is it for this week's episode of Guth and Hupke on Politics. We shall see you next time. Until then, don't be a jerk on Twitter. See you then. Bye.